Hey guys, it's been a while since I've last uploaded an episode on podcast. There have been a lot of things going on since that Wimbledon 2021, where Djokovic claimed his 21st Grand Slam title. Obviously, Carlos Alcaraz, who everybody's been talking about, he's been in a little bit of a struggle, especially against Italians. You know, he lost to Sinner in Wimbledon, and then he lost to Musetti in Hamburg final, and he lost to Sinner again in the Umag final. But, you know, he's been reaching the finals constantly, which is a good thing, and, you know, considering he's not at his best, it is kind of impressive, isn't it, to reach finals of, like, you know, every ATP 250s and 500s. So, and then, you know, he lost to I think Tommy Paul in the second round of Montreal, where Pablo Carreño Busta won the title against Hurkacz. And obviously in Cincinnati, Chorich had a dream run. You know, he defeated Musetti, RBA, Roberto Bautista Agut, obviously Rafael Nadal, Cameron Norrie, Stefanos Tsitsipas, Felix Auger-Aliassime, all those good, great players, actually, to win his first Masters 1000 title. And, you know, first of all, I want to talk about upsets that happened in week one of this 2022 US Open. And Chorich was, you know, actually one of the things, well, I mean, one of the guys out there I thought who would have a great run at the Open here, but he actually lost to Brooksby in the second round. You know, he was not at his best. His serve was, you know, not as good as he was in Cincinnati. And, you know, Brooksby kind of had his home crowd at the back, and so it is an upset, but considering Brooksby is an American, and, you know, he played really well against Djokovic last year in Arthur Ashe Stadium, you know, it's you know, I knew it was going to be a good match, but it was kind of a shock after that Cincinnati run, and I wanted to see Chorich versus Alcaraz in the third round. So it's a little bit of a shame, but, you know, it is what it is. And the other upsets I have to mention is obviously Stefanos Tsitsipas. I think he was out in day one. Was it day two? I don't remember. But against the Colombian, I guess, Galan. I honestly haven't really heard of him. Hadn't really heard of him since that upset. But yeah, he was a very good player, and Tsitsipas was not at his best. He was far from his best, actually. He had a lot of unforced errors. I didn't see the whole match. I only saw, like, highlights and bits and pieces of the match, but still, I wasn't really able to see his, you know, well, you can't really tell from the highlights. I know that, and, you know, Stefanos is a great player. I like him, but it's a shame that he was out in round one. You know, he could have had a deep run. But, I think he lost to Alcaraz last year, so he was playing better last year, no doubt about it. But, hope he bounces back in the coming years. And, Felix Auger-Aliassime, he had a great run last year, reached the semis before losing to the eventual champion Medvedev. But he lost to Jack Draper. Like said in the podcast, if you haven't really watched tennis, Jack Draper, people might have thought he's the seeded player instead of FAA. Draper's, you know, he's not like a top 10 player or top 20 player, but, you know, he did play like a top 20, top 10 tennis, so, you know, I think it's a matter of time when he breaks into the top, I don't know, 20 or something. Yeah, unfortunately, he had to withdraw. I think he had an abdominal injury or something against Karen Khachanov in the second round. I think it was the second round. Yeah, but it's such a shame. But hope he recovers well quickly. And yeah, and also Hurkacz. I would still call that an upset. It was against Ilya Ivashka from Belarus. you know, Hurkacz, besides 2021 Wimbledon semi-final run, when he defeated, obviously, the king, Roger Federer, he hasn't really been, you know, he hasn't really shown up in the slams. I think, well, he did reach the fourth round of Roland Garros this year, but besides that, he just, you know, keeps losing the second round. And, you know, I really like him as a player. I really like him as a person. I think he's a one of the nicest guys on tour. You know, obviously I haven't been on tour, but, you know, by the look of it and listening to the interviews and all that, I think, like, you know, Team Yonex, with Casper Ruud and Wawrinka, I think Hurkacz is, you know, one of the most likable players on tour. But yeah, it's a shame that he lost. I don't think he hasn't, you know, kind of like Zverev in 2016, 17, 18, 19 period, where, you know, he played so well in the Masters, but, like, not so much in the Slams. I think that's the case with Hurkacz right now. So, you know, I hope he finds his form, because he has those serves and big forehands and weapons. He's really good with the net as well. So, you know, hope he plays well in the coming tournament, for the rest of the year as well. And I think Dimitrov, you know, he hasn't been playing well. He lost to Nakashima. That is kind of like an upset in terms of seeding, but, you know, I wouldn't really call it a huge one, because Nakashima had been playing really well. I think he did lose to someone already, but, you know, I think he reached the fourth round in Wimby before losing to Kyrgios. And, yeah, oh, and also Fritz, I thought he was gonna, you know, he's the American number one right now, and, you know, I thought he was gonna have a deep run as well, but he lost to, I forgot his name, I think it was Holt. He was also an American, and, you know, it was a great match, but, yeah, fortunately, he lost. Unfortunately, he lost as well, so hope he can bounce back next year. And, yeah, those were the upsets of week one. Maybe I missed them. I'm sorry if your favorite players are missed. But, yeah, I'll just try to have a review right after this as well. The second thing I'm going to talk about is Kyrgios, the king Kyrgios. I wouldn't consider that as an upset, because now he's won 4 out of 5 matches against Medvedev, and, you know, he defeated the world number one at the moment. He defeated the reigning champion, well, the defending champion, and, you know, he has defeated the world number one, I think, 3 times in his career. Well, it's an incredible stat, isn't it? Kyrgios hadn't really shown up in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Obviously, he reached the quarterfinals of Australian Open and Wimbledon back in, I think it was like 2014 Wimbledon and 2015 Australian Open, right? But that was just, you know, since then he had been kind of struggling with his not his confidence, I guess, because he always had the confidence, but it was kind of like, you know, he was enjoying other things as well, which I completely understand. You know, tennis players, you know, to live as a tennis player is super tough, and you know, I think it's really hard to find the balance between the other stuff and your profession if you're an athlete. So yeah, but this year I think he's a bit of a different person right now. And he actually said, like, after the Wimby, he never imagined that he would feel this way, like, to be so motivated after the loss. And, you know, we should say that we are all happy for him to be super motivated and have his, like, talent shown up on court. Well, today the first set was absolutely ridiculous and off the chart. I think it was like 11. That wouldn't have ended. But I think it was like 13-11 or 12-10 or... Oh, I actually forgot the score. But it was a great set of tennis in the first set. And then the second set, Medvedev bounced back. Kyrgios, you know, hit a lot more unforced error than he did in the first set. And then Kyrgios came back, won the third, and, you know, absolutely unplayable in the fourth set as well. He showed why he is the king, kind of, the King Kyrgios, NK Rising, whatever you call him. But, you know, since Wimbledon, he had reached Montreal quarterfinals, and I think he lost to Hurkacz. And then Cincinnati, he lost to Fritz in the second round or something. But at Grand Slams, he's a different player right now. This year, he obviously won the Australian Open doubles with Kokkinakis, and then, you know, reached that Wimbledon final. So I wouldn't be surprised if he reaches another one here. You don't have Djokovic or Nadal in his half. He obviously defeated the world number one, so he's taking over that seeding right now. And, you know, the next one he's going to face is Karen Khachanov. Well, yeah, I'll briefly go through the draw here because I think it's the right timing. Kyrgios is going to face Karen Khachanov. He defeated Pablo Carreño Busta, the two-time semi-finalist here. So, Khachanov is showing his form right now. Well, I personally think Kyrgios can back up his win against Medvedev over Khachanov as well. And then if Kyrgios manages to beat Khachanov, or maybe, well, Khachanov beats Kyrgios, they are going to face, one of them is going to face either Berrettini or Ruud. Berrettini just won against Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. So he was in Tsitsipas's quarter. But Berrettini, he's showing some form right now. He's been super consistent in slams. He reached the 2021 Australian Open. He withdrew against Tsitsipas in the fourth round. He reached the fourth round there. He reached Roland Garros quarterfinal, lost to Djokovic. He reached Wimbledon final, lost to Djokovic. He reached US Open quarterfinal, lost to Djokovic again. Then he lost to Rafa this year at the Australian Open. And then I think he reached the semis over there, which is quite remarkable. Then he had this injury and COVID issue in Roland Garros and Wimbledon, so he didn't play those tournaments. And then he came back with the quarterfinal, so in US Open. So it's pretty impressive, his Grand Slam record. It's kind of like new Ferrer, Nishikori kind of position. But I hope he does better than them. If, you know, Berrettini beats Ruud, which is his next opponent. Ruud beat Moutet earlier in the day, but that would be Berrettini versus Kyrgios. It's another popcorn match, isn't it? Two former Wimbledon finalists. Yeah. So that's the top half, and in the bottom half, I know it's such a weird time to record this because, you know, we've only finished the quarterfinalists from the draw. There are still four matches to be played from the fourth round. The first one is Sinner versus Ivashka. Well, I personally think Sinner is going to win. Ivashka can play really well like he did against Urkash, but still Sinner has the experience, and I think he's, well, if he reaches the quarterfinals here, I think he will have been reached all the quarterfinals in all the slams, I guess. Because he reached the Australian Open quarterfinal this year, Roland Garros quarterfinal back in 2020, and Wimbledon quarterfinals this year as well. So he's had a very consistent year in terms of slams as well. And yeah, so I think Sinner can get the win over Ivashka. And Alcaraz is going to face Cilic. Well, Cilic has found his form in Roland Garros semifinals, but hasn't really been doing, well, super well since then. But I don't know. I think Alcaraz is going to win. You know, he's the huge favorite, obviously. But yeah, it might be like four setters, maybe like Alcaraz in four. That's how I'm going to predict. Yeah. And then, Nori versus Rublev. Well, Rublev had an epic, with Chapeau. I think Rublev can be a bit tired. And you know, I think he used most of, well, I wouldn't say all the power or all the energy he had, but still, I think Nori's got the energy and, you know, he's more kind of like in form now. He doesn't really slip against those lower ranked players. I wouldn't say Rublev is like a super low ranked player, but still, Nori, I think he has kind of established himself in the top 10 for the last couple of months. So I think Nori can get the win. And then Nadal versus Tiafoe. Well, Rafa hasn't been playing really well. In the first round, he lost his first ever set in the first round, I guess, against Rinki Hijikata from Australia. Well, Rafa had those, you know, incredible shots here and there, but still he said he needed to improve. And, you know, as a Rafa fan, I think, yeah, you know, he could improve. And then in the second round, there was a little bit of a worrying moment against Fognini. Well, even before the match, I thought it would be a dangerous matchup, because we all remember that 2015 third round epic, right? Rafa was two sets to love up, and then Fognini came back from two sets to love down. And, you know, Rafa, obviously, we all know that Rafa was struggling in 2015 to 2016 period, but, you know, Fognini can, like in 2019 Monte Carlo, Fognini can play out of his mind. And I think it wasn't like Fognini playing perfectly. It was more like, yeah, Rafa playing not at his best in the first set and a half. But he somehow took the second set, and he was in control in the third. But I mean, the fourth set, we were all worried about his bleeding in his nose. It wasn't like nose bleeding. It was like he hit his nose with the racket, bouncing off from the backhand side. It was worrying some, because, you know, he said he might have broke his bone or something. He had this large plaster on his nose for the last couple of games, but he actually didn't drop a game after that incident. So it shows how strong and how professional he is, like how experienced he is with the injury and with the pain. He can still win. So you know, we all know he's such a fighter, a warrior. But still, yeah, I think that was kind of like the key moments that Rafa kind of woke up. And in the third round, he had kind of like a favorable matchup against Richard Gasquet. Well, no offense, no disrespect for Gasquet, because if you're facing Nadal 18 times, that means you're pretty good. I mean, like, you have to actually win matches to get to Rafa's part, and, you know, you have to be able to be super consistent in years to be able to play Rafa so many times. So even though he now has like 0 wins and 18 losses against Rafa, well, Gasquet, I think he should be super proud of his career. And, you know, he's not retiring yet, but like, yeah. Well, speaking of retirement, Serena, you know, it was an absolute epic, wasn't it, against Tomjanovic, and even Kontaveit, where she won against the world number 2. It was an unbelievable match. But I want to talk about that later in the different episode. Not this one, because it's going to get too long. Oh, it's already 20 minutes, around 20 minutes. But yeah, well, the last thing I want to, well, oh, I didn't talk about Tiafoe. He won against Schwartzman. And, you know, actually, Tiafoe is a dangerous player. I think he can do some damage to Nadal. So as a Rafa fan, I'm kind of scary. I'm kind of afraid. But I believe that Rafa can get through, maybe in like 4 or 5. But yeah, Tiafoe really is a dangerous opponent. So yeah, I hope Rafa's at his best. I think he really needs to be at his best. Tiafoe's playing one of his best tournaments of his career, alongside with 2018 Australian Open, 2019, I guess, Australian Open. So yeah, Hope Rafa can get through. And then if Rafa reaches the final, I think he'll be the new world number one, considering, given that Medvedev had lost today. Or even Alcaraz or Ruud, Casper Ruud can be the world number one. I wouldn't say that's ridiculous, because that would be rude to Ruud. I just wanted to say this, but he has reached, Ruud has reached one Grand Slam final in Roland Garros, and also if he reaches the final here, that means he has reached two out of four Grand Slams, so, you know, and, you know, no players earned any points from Wimbledon 2021, so out of, given that information, two out of three slams, two finals out of three Grand Slams is, an incredible stat. So, but I think Rafa deserves the world number one at the moment, So I really hope Rafa can win, and maybe Alcaraz, he can be the world number one as well. We never know. So let's just wait and see who will be the world number one. And I'm just super excited for the day 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever. I don't know where we are at now, but I'm super excited for the coming matches today, especially Alcaraz Cilic and also Rafael Nadal versus Francis Tiafoe. We'll keep an eye on them, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and I hope I can come back soon. Goodbye.